Hello, friends. I'm Marissa Blackwood, and welcome to All Things Murder. Welcome to All Things Murder, the show that dives into real true crime cases that inspired pop culture movies and shows we know today. I'm Marissa Blackwood, and this case is going to be a controversial one. If you've seen Netflix's Mindhunter, then you may have heard of this case. For today, dear friends, we'll be discussing the Atlanta child murders and the man believed to be responsible, Wayne Bertram Williams. Listener's discretion is advised. If you're a fan of horror movies or true crime, or perhaps both like myself, don't forget to like and subscribe. Also, don't forget to check us out on YouTube at All Things Murder. New episodes on Thursdays. From 1979 to 1981, there are about 29 murders in the Atlanta area that all appear to be linked. Most of the victims were young boys, and all of them were African American. The majority were young, and some were even children. The community thus dubbed the killing spree the Atlanta Child Murders. In 1981, a man named Wayne Williams, who is portrayed in the second season of Netflix's Mindhunter, was arrested for the murder of two young men in Atlanta. But many soon believed that his trail of death may have been far more gruesome and that he was the man behind the Atlanta Child Murders. While his eventual arrest and conviction for the two murders coincided with the end of the Reign of Terror over Atlanta, there has been many speculation persisting as to whether Wayne Williams was actually guilty of the murders, or was he just merely a convenient police scapegoat? Now, I've read up on this. There's a lot of debate on this, so just wait. Wayne Williams was born on May 29th, 1958 in Atlanta. He was the only child to two school teachers. He graduated from Douglas High School and was really interested in radio and journalism. By the age of 23, he was just jumping from one thing to the next, going from working at a radio to a record producer to talent scouting. We've all been there. We're trying to find what the hell we all like to do and how we can make money off of it. Trying to find our way. We've all been there. Try to find your way, Wayne. Eventually, he also began dabbling in freelance photography. Now, despite his hefty career choices, like, I want to go from here, and no, I'll be this, his work unfortunately never took off. His dream cost his parents a ton of money, and they ended up filing for bankruptcy. A longtime neighbor of the Williamses later told FBI agents that kids in the neighborhood thought Wayne was a policeman because he spoke and acted like one. He would even carry a badge around him. Like, so far, dude, this is a big red flag. Not looking good. Quote, many of them thought he started acting crazy 2 to 3 years ago. He would approach kids in official-looking vehicles, telling them to get off the street or he would lock them up. On May 22nd of 1981, things took a turn for the worst. Oh yeah. Around 3 a.m. that day, police officers were patrolling a bridge over the Chattahoochee River and stopped Wayne while he was driving his car. When they stopped and questioned, hey, what's going on? What are you doing here? He told police that he was on his way to check on an address in another town ahead of them, and then he gave them a phone number and then a name, Cheryl Johnson. Like, oh, I'm meeting up with the singer. I have an audition with her. Oh, you know, let me go, officers. However, both the phone number he gave police and this singer, Cheryl Johnson, turned out to be fictitious. They are not real. So, strike two, really not looking good for you. 2 days later, the dead body of a Nathaniel Carter, who was 27, was discovered downstream nearby where police had stopped and questioned Wayne. Wayne, what are you doing, man? This is not looking good. It was believed to be linked to the string of homicides that were also terrorizing the city. So Wayne Williams officially became a suspect in the Atlanta child murders. The first victims of the Atlanta child murders were two boys, one 14, the other 13, both of whom disappeared within 3 days of each other. Both were found dead on the side of the road beside each other on July 28th of 1979. One was shot and the other one was murdered by asphyxiation. And unfortunately from there, the bodies just continued to pile up. By March 1980, the death toll had reached at least six. Frustratingly, every lead, the Atlanta child murder case turned up nothing. Like, authorities found nada. No suspects, no evidence, nothing. Before long, they were like, all right, guys, gotta call the FBI. Gotta call the big guns. A famed FBI profiler, John Douglas, weighed in on a potential killer profile of the Atlanta murders culprit. He had devoted much of his work to interviewing serial killers and assassins, as a profiler does, which would go on to include James Earl Ray, David Berkowitz, also known as the Son of Sam, and Richard Speck. Dude, being a profiler, I know most people are like, that sounds so scary. I'm intrigued by it. If you don't already know, I love Criminal Minds. And I feel like I could be a profiler if I applied myself. I really could. So it was no surprise to Douglas that he had a hunch about this particular case. Douglas was the inspiration for the main character on Mindhunter, and he believed that the murderer was someone African-American and could not be white. He theorized that in order to have access to African-American children, the Atlanta killer would need access to the black community without arousing suspicion. Different times then, as we know. Different times. So if a black community saw a white guy, they'd be like, well, yeah, we saw a white guy. It was definitely a white guy. And they'd be like, yeah, that's the killer. But not this time. Not this time. By late May of 1981, many of the dead bodies linked to the case had been recovered within the same geographic perimeters. So majority of them have been pulled out of the Chattahoochee River, so the investigators started staking out all of its bridges. Which is leading us back to Wayne, because police thought that Wayne had killed Carter and that his body was the source of the sound they heard as his car crossed the bridge. Because they went over there to dump something and they're like, something fell in the water, and they're like, oh snap, was that a body? The body of a 21-year-old Jimmy Ray Payne was also found nearby, allowing cops to build their case. It wasn't until June 21st, about a month later, after the discovery of the bodies, that the police were able to arrest Wayne Williams. He was cuffed after it was found that his alibis were very weak, and he also failed a polygraph test. So my dude, it is so not looking good for you. Police had also collected fibers from his car and his family dogs. They were the same fibers that were found on both Carter and Payne's bodies. In addition to the mounting evidence, the FBI profiler John Douglas detected a convincing motive for Wayne. He's gonna reveal his MO, he's gonna reveal the profile. Douglas pointed that Wayne's many failures in life and theorized that he may have felt like he was losing control. So, in a sense, the murders could have hypothetically given him back a sense of control. His trial began on January 6th of 1982 in Fulton County. During this two-month trial, prosecutors matched to a number of victims, 19 sources of fiber from Wayne's house and car, his bedspread, bathroom, gloves, clothes, carpet, dog, and an unusual carpet fiber. Other evidence included witness testimony that placed Wayne with several of the victims while they were alive and inconsistencies in his accounts of his whereabouts. Because remember, he did not have a good alibi, which is not making this look good for him at all. Wayne Williams took the stand in his own defense, but alienated the jury by becoming angry and combative. Rule number one, ladies and gentlemen, don't piss off the jury. They're the ones deciding your fate. So if you go over there and get them attitude, they're like, yeah, send that guy to jail or death row. Like, yeah, screw that guy. After about 12 hours of deliberation, the jury found him guilty on February 27th of the murders of Carter and Payne. He was sentenced to life imprisonment. After Wayne Williams became a suspect, the killing suddenly stopped. Wayne Williams was never convicted for the rest of the murders in the Atlanta child murders case, but local police allege that he was responsible for them. Wayne B. Williams has consistently maintained his innocence ever since he was put in jail decades ago. In one 1991 interview, he said that he accepts his fate and that God has a plan for him. Now here's where it gets a little interesting. There are some Atlanta residents, including relatives of the Atlanta child murders victims, who believe that Wayne did not commit the crime. So they're like, no, he didn't do it. Filmmakers Payne Lindsay and Donald Albright compiled research and interviews to find out whether Wayne Williams was the Atlanta child serial killer. They're like, did he do it or not? Like, let's just clear this up. This project was part of a 10-episode podcast titled Atlanta Monster, which digs into the nearly 40-year-old case. Quote, the families of the victims are the ones saying they don't think he did it. They don't feel like their child was ever actually given justice, Albright said. There was also a bombshell report by Spin Magazine, which revealed that the Georgia Bureau of Investigation, the GBI, had suppressed evidence that may have implicated a member of the Ku Klux Klan, you know, the KKK, in the murders. But in an effort to prevent racial strife, the GBI kept this information to themselves. They're like, no, we probably should tell people, but we're not gonna tell people. Wayne's lawyers have referred to his arrest as a scapegoat. Investigators had found their assumed black murderer and were only able to cleanly close a political rifle case. But the Atlanta murder mystery was so much more complicated. In 2010, by DNA forensics, which strengthened the original case, obviously with modern day testing on the hairs found originally at the scene. So just to prove a point, since they wanted to go back to court, they retested it since they didn't have the DNA testing that we have now. And it still said, yeah, it was him. Officials involved in the original investigation maintained their case and said, yep, William did it and he is responsible for the murders. Meanwhile, Wayne Williams bides his time in prison. He has repeatedly been denied parole, even as a fresh investigation into the murders was opened again by Atlanta Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms in 2019. So in 2019, 9 years later, they're like, okay, let's test it again, just in case. On August 19th of 2019, an Atlanta man, Derwin Davis, came out claiming that Williams had attempted to abduct him in 1979. So they redid that entire investigation, and I researched it. I have not seen one article about the results. I think they basically were like, yeah, same stuff. He did it. But as the case was being reopened again, as a witness, actually two people came forward and said that he tried to take them as children and abduct them. So, a spokesman for the parole board stated that Williams' next date of parole consideration is November of 2027, the furthest date that the board is allowed to push it to now. My opinions. I mean, just saying, DNA doesn't lie. Would I like it to have not been him? Absolutely. Obviously, racial injustice is just terrible and it's awful to hear. But I mean, DNA doesn't lie. And they tried this not once, but twice. With the DNA, try to give him a fighting chance. I will say this, he's not responsible for all of them. Let me say that. Because I did some research here, and there are a few girls that were murdered in the Atlanta child murders as well. And I definitely believe the KKK could have been involved in those. For sure. Absolutely, that could have happened. Unfortunate. And that, my friends, is the true story of Wayne Williams, the man responsible for the Atlanta child murders. Rest in peace to all of the victims. Thank you all so much for joining me. I'm Marissa Blackwood, and don't forget to tune in next week for a new All Things Murder, if you dare.